All right, would you turn your Bible with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please? Okay, let's start. The world we are living in is consumed and dominated by the selfish desires. Isn't it true? We see, hear, and even feel the wave of ungodly and worldly influences crashing into our hearts from every direction to entice us to join them in their chaos. Well, if you don't believe in the chaos, just turn the TV on, especially Fox News. They will show you all the riots and looting happening. Of course, the mainstream media will not show that. This ungodly and worldly influences is practically a religion itself, I think. Here's why I came up with a list. This religion needs a God. Don't you think? Any religion needs God, right? In this case, religion is self. Individual self. And religion needs a priest. Who would that be? Hollywood celebrities. And you may say, yeah, you're stretching. Bear with me. And religion needs a prophet. Music videos, movies, magazines, and more. And religion needs scriptures, gossip tabloid magazine, entertainment news, so on. People literally feed on those things. Do you know that? Majority of things that are happening on Instagram and so Facebook, YouTube are pretty much this. And the religion has a place of worship, such as social media, amusement park, theater, concert hall, and sports arena, so on. And now, we have a TV, computer, and smartphone, and tabloid. All of that is practically place for their own self-religion. And those things become little mini chapel, little chapels. Religion of excitement and entertainment seduce people into living their lives for one thing. One thing only. Thrill of the momentary pleasure. And these thrills are quickly over and forgotten, so they are looking for next fun things. And this religion conditions its followers to only think about what's next. Is it fun? But they never ask following questions. Is it true? Is it right? Is it good? And is it godly? Am I making sense? Whatever you think about the Hollywood quote-unquote top news, put that thing against the four questions that I stated. Is it true? Is it right? Is it good? Is it godly? None of them fit in. Everything they talk about, everything they say, everything they trying to impose on you is pretty much below waistline. Sex. Would you go to keep your finger in chapter 4, go to verse 11 of chapter 3. Now may our God and the Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our ways to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. So that he may establish your heart blameless in holiness before our God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. In verse 11 through 13, chapter 3 we studied, the Apostle Paul told us that God may establish their heart blameless in holiness before our God and the Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. Does it mean, is this an announcement of a post-tribulation? No, you're stretching it a little too far. Now, he's going to expound more in this chapter. Just in case you think that way, he's going to expound it here. Let's stop and pray. Father, as you always said, we are living in an unholy, decaying, dying, and corrupt world. We still have this corrupt body that will someday will be dissolved into the earth, but our soul is no longer corrupted. because you revived us from death through Jesus Christ our Lord. It is not any of our efforts, so anyone can boast, but it is through our Lord Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. Father, as we study this book, this chapter, living holy for you, set apart for you, Father, let us not just have a knowledge, but let us have the principle and precepts in our heart that we may live according to those principles and precepts, that you alone receive glory. Speak to us, Father, that we may hear and be obedient to you. Anoint our hearts to hear your word and nourish our spiritual body. And Father, asking your anointing to be upon the one who speaks, that he may only speak your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1. Finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to, would you underline, walk and be, and to please God. To walk and to please God. For you know what commandment we gave you through the Lord Jesus. Stop there, and would you give me an interpretation, please?
You told us finally.
Okay.
That's
right there?
Yeah.
Did I give you too much answer? Well, I cannot argue with that. Who else has it? Who else? Bob has that look. No? Okay. Okay. Yes, Gary.
Well, I have to go back to the red briars.
Mm-hmm.
God is, and may the Lord cause you to abound.
Mm-hmm.
And for you. So what the Lord, then the Lord established. In 13, established without blame.
Good. So we. Then I have a question. That love. Is that what kind of love? Is that just ignoring any type of sin? Say, wink at it? No? What kind of love?
If I love my brother and I see him in sin,
mm-hmm.
or see him the same thing, get away from him.
So that your love is not just
my brother's life.
More important than the relationship with your brother.
Right.
Okay. Good. I'm sorry? Okay. Diana just said a very important word that she explained the definition of come alongside. That's known as advocate, isn't it? Is Jesus advocate? Yes, he is our advocate. Come alongside. Yes, Bill.
Well, the time of the Roman Empire was, it's like Green Valley, it was a pretty pagan society.
Okay.
So, right? So, I mean, they were right in the middle of this.
Yeah.
Trying to say you're at a crossroads, yeah. Which way?
Good. See, pleasing God should be the major motives of our Christian life. Okay. Moral climate of the Roman Empire, as Bill just mentioned, it was not only unhealthy, but also very perversive. Immorality was a way of life. Thanks to slavery, they have way too much time in their hands. What would happen to a human being when they have enough time, enough resources? What do they do? Yeah, really. Do you know what the communism say about that? When the people's backs are warm and their tummy is full. Okay, they don't use the word tummy. Well, when their tummy, stomach is full, they tend to think of something else. So they keep them scarce, food scarce, and their comfort scarce. By the way, communism is the end road of the socialism that people really like. Just in case you didn't know about it. Christian message of the holy living is new to these people. And it was not easy for these spiritually young believers in Thessalonica to follow and fight against the temptation around them. Pleasing God should be the major motive of the Christian life. Enoch walked with God and before God called him to heaven. And Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God according to Hebrews chapter 11. Would you keep your finger to and the Thessalonians and go to Hebrews, please? Hebrews chapter 11. What? Hebrews chapter 11 verse 5. Of course, this chapter is known as Hall of Faith. Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that what? He pleased God. You know, I don't care what kinds of reward I would get. If he says to me, you pleased me, that would be ultimate reward. Don't you think? Then we have this question to ask ourselves. How do we know what pleased God? Give him a lot of country music CDs? By listening to him and living for him. As we read the Bible, as we fellowship in worship and service, we get to know the heart of God. And here's the thing. This opens us up to the will of God. When we get to know his heart, we get to know the will of God. The Apostle Paul, can I change the slide? The Apostle Paul was not the first one to proclaim the followers of God was about the holy living. As you have learned, the Old Testament is full of warning and plea to the people of Israel to take heed and follow God's principles and precepts. But what did they do? Just like a 21st century dying world, they reject God's commandment for their earthly pleasures. I know that Bob Chesgreen is into the Ezekiels, and I happen to been reading the book of Ezekiels. In a time, chapter after chapter, this prophet Ezekiel is telling them, Israeli people, especially the Judah, the Israeli, northern kingdom, Israel is already gone, taken by the Assyria. And Judah have seen that disaster, and they should know better. And guess what they do? They got worse. How can you go worse than the heathen Israel, northern kingdom? They just did worse. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 6, right after the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, verse 8, please. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel, as a grape gatherer. Put your hands back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in them. Therefore, I am full of fury of the Lord. I am weary of the holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and the assembly of the young men together. For when the husband shall be taken with the wife, the aged with him who is full of days, and their houses shall be turned over to others in field and wives together. For I will stretch out my hands against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly and saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not even ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Would you note that word, nor did they know how to blush? On TV screens, movie, novels, and music videos, even our daily lives, gay and lesbians push the open homosexual life as a norm. you know, like about 10 years ago, they tried to portray the gay people as a kind of funny people. So when it's the funny people, people will tend to accept them more on TV. Now, they don't even do that. They blatantly, on even TV commercials, man holding and kissing more and more. And they actually made that group as a privileged and protected group. You cannot say anything bad about them. One of the Tucson local church, they have a K-6 school, private school, Christian school. So they need the particular software, computer software. So they contacted this software in headquarters in Denver. It's a Quark Express. It's a graphic designer's desktop publishing software that I still use. Anyway, ask them, do you have an educational version that you can give us in a discount? Because it's not for one computer, but it's for many computers. The reply from the Quark Express is clear. Because Quark Express, the former CEO, is a gay activist. And the Quark Express is a staunch supporter of gay and lesbians' right. And they asked this church, if their church would sign a paper that stated that they would not discriminate a homosexual applicant from hiring. So the church told them, keep the software to yourself. I thought, good for you. We become all so accustomed to the worldly mess that our minds are numb. We don't even raise eyebrows anymore. And our conscience is no longer sting, and our face is no longer burned with shame. And you may say, well, is there really that much problem in the churches? May I say Episcopalians? May I say Presbyterians? Methodists? And even the Baptists. American Baptists is so to the left, so liberal, they are falling off the edge. They no longer believe in Jesus Christ. They just make it as they go. Still, media continue to barraging us with the image of immorality and ranging from the homosexuality, adultery, and fornication. Now, they're trying to make it, they already studied pedophile as a normal. You know that? They're trying to make that, well, it's same level at all ages. No. As the Word of God says, nor did they know how to blush. Isaiah chapter 5 says, right become wrong, and wrong become right. Let's continue in verse 3 of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. For this is the will of God. Would you underline it, please? This is the will of God. Your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Would you underline that as well? Possess his own vessel or her vessel in sanctification and honor. Not just mind, body, vessel. Not in passion of lust like Gentiles who do not know God. Verse 6, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness and in holiness, but in holiness. Therefore, and underline next phrase, please. He who reject this does not reject man, but God. Did you get that? When somebody goes against this principle, they are not rejecting what the preacher says. They are rejecting God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. All right, give me your interpretation. Probably I already gave the other interpretation. Maybe I should not give you the underlined areas. Anyone? Yes, Mike. Mm-hmm. How? How?
Be obedient.
Good.
You know, I always feed the two dogs inside, the big dog or the big dog.
Whichever the one you feed most.
That's right.
Okay. Four. That's good. That's good. Who else? Bob is pointing to the Debbie. Yes, Pat. So if I summarize what you just said, it's like a set apart, sanctified. Okay. Good. Good. Who else? Good. Thank you.
Man.
I'm sorry.
Try not to let man influence the things that you're doing. I mean, these days, you know, like the silence. In a sense, you know, except for not being conscious of bodies in that sense, as well as stuff that's coming into our life. Just any of that, you see how to be accepting it, accepting what man wants.
Excellent.
And you get further and get closer and closer to things.
Think about it this way. Here's a man. What human want is what God want. There's one line. There's no other way. Just one line. Mm-hmm. There you are in the middle. The farther you go away from the man, you closer you get to the God. If you go the other way, you go closer to the what man want, you're getting farther away from God.
It's like a tug of war with that scarf in the middle.
Exactly. And we are the one who is in the middle. We are the one who choose which way, which direction we go. Nobody make us to happen. Yes, Gary.
Well, that's exactly what we read here. We know the will of God. He wants to sanctify. He wants to set us apart. But I have to ask, do I want?
Right?
I either accept God's way. I want what he wants. I continue down, like you were just saying.
Excellent. All good. Living for God has nothing to do with being religious. Am I correct? Rather, being has everything to do with being obedient to him. Through the Bible, setting apart from the world. So, many Christians whom I met wanted to know what God's will for them. Have you ever heard somebody saying, I want to know what God's will for me? What they really want to know is, it's like they like, almost like to have a crystal ball, and or they pull out some, like a Chinese fortune cookie, and then saying, okay, today you're going to have this thing. If they don't like what says, I'm going to plan ahead to avoid those things. But the Bible says, it says, go back there. This is the will of God. Is that clear enough for you? It says, your sanctification, that you should abstain from the sexual immorality. Oh, that's what it is. But that's not really people want. And it's black and white. It's spelled up clear and simply. And people rather know about what God has in mind regarding their job, where to live, what to do for future, due to their curiosity and anxiety for future. But instead of answering this detailed question, God said, sanctify yourself from this world. What does it mean? Sanctify from this world.
Take yourself apart.
Yes. Don't flow with the worldly flow. Then we might argue with the guy at this point. I want to know what I'm going to do tomorrow and next month and next year. God still give us the same answer. Sanctify yourself from this world. Can I change the slide? We have enough problem today. We have enough problem today. We don't need to borrow. We don't need to be concerned about tomorrow, as Jesus told us in Matthew 6:34. He said, you don't need to borrow tomorrow's problem, he said. Do I mean that we don't need to plan for future? No, that's not what I meant. We need to plan for the future with God in mind. I think I mentioned this to you. Somebody asked me, what is your 5-year plan? My answer was, I don't know, even I'm going to live for 5 years. I live the day by day. If the Lord give me another breath, I have a plan. If I don't, if he doesn't, I'm gone. So living to please him with the sanctification is far more important than our own 5-year plan. If you can plan, plan. I heard this, probably I'm not quoting exactly. prepare yourself as if you're going to live another 20, 30 years. But prepare yourself as if you only have a next 30 minutes. What would you do? What would you do if you for sure that you're going to die within 30 minutes? Okay, don't answer. Don't answer. I don't want to hear all this holy answer. When you go home, here's my homework for you tonight. I want you to think carefully. Write it down. If I have 24 hours, if I have 24 hours to live, what would I do? And write it down what you're going to do. I'm not talking about stage 4 cancer. I'm not talking about anything like that. If you have a healthy body, if you have a sound mind, and you have 24 hours, I want you to write it down what you're going to do. You don't need to come talk to me about it. But ask yourself, is this what you want, Lord, or is this what I want? And some of you might write it down. I'm going to run up my credit card to the max. Pass on to the kid. All right. The idea behind the sanctification is means to be set apart. And God wants us to be set apart from the godless culture and there's sexual immorality. If our sexual behavior is no different than the worldly behavior of believers who do not know God, then we are not sanctified in the way God wants us to be. It was not unusual for me to find some people who live together and having sex before their marriage. And they call themselves Christian. And I have to ask them, is that where you learned from God? Through the Bible? And normally they come up with an excuse. Well, we are going to get married. You just said that means you are not married, correct? And they say, yes. What does the Word of God says about it? No sex before marriage. When it comes to living a pure and holy life, we don't have to wonder about God's will for it. Abstinence from the sexual immorality is His commandment, and no amount of liberal theology or modern philosophy can alter it. Throughout the Bible, God warns us against the sexual sins, and these warnings must be heeded. Because of this portion, I kind of had a chance to look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 6. A lot of people think that, well, they take that portion out of context. Body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You heard that, right? And they said, well, you should not do this, you should not do that, you should not eat this, you should not drink that, because the body of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Is that in correct context or not?
No.
For that chapter 6?
No.
What is about chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians? About sexual immorality, warning against sexual immorality, special with the prostitute. Okay, let me ask you this question. Since we are going to talk about pornography, I'm going to kind of jumping ahead. Nowadays, it's a man and woman both posing in nude. Are they same in a way, concept-wise, they are the same as in prostitute? Yes, because they get paid to do it. If they don't get paid, they get paid to be famous. So if you think about them and you get aroused by those kind of things, and you know, I cannot say it is a strictly limited to men anymore. One third of women are into pornography. It's a surprise, isn't it? We need to take a heed. And we have these four walls in that church walls. Do you think a worldly influence is infiltrating to these four walls of church? Yes. Very much yes. Do you know there are local churches not very far from here? Deacons used to do the wife swapping. Yes. I'm not joking. Living in purity not only gives us glory to God who created sex for the marriage relationship, but also provides us a healthy sense of self-respect and well-being. However, the world And our own flesh urges us to disregard God's holiness. What can we do to stay pure? And continuing on the subject of God's will for our lives, Paul offers us three practical tips in this, from this section. I find the three things. Number one, abstaining begins with possessing our own vessels, that is, knowing our own body, how our sex drive function, what weakens our self-control, and what strengthens it. What is the biggest drive of mankind? Biggest drive for survival?
For procreation.
No, breathing. Breathing is the biggest drive. Breathing.
Breathing.
Breathing. No, no, I don't think any of the human beings is a death scholar. Second drive is water. Third is food. Air, water, food. Fourth is sex. Don't think any lightly about sexual desire. It is a strong. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. I was being interviewed by the Green Valley newspaper editor, Ben. Good, nice guy, Christian. And he asked me about what I think about some of these elderly people in Green Valley living together. And I told him, well, they are trying to meet their fourth greatest desire of man. He asked me, what do you mean? I told him, air, water, food, and sex. It doesn't matter the age group. The desire is still there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, second half. We take captive every thought to make it obedience to Christ. I quote this many times. Probably I will continuously quote until I drop dead. As long as we take a captive of every thought, then we don't have to worry about our action, do we? Our action does not precede our thought. Second point, possessing our body involves admitting the temptation we cannot handle and avoiding those enticing situations. Possessing our bodies involves admitting the temptation we cannot handle and avoiding those enticing situations. If you know your limit, don't go there. Okay? Guys and gals, if you know your limit, don't go there. I love the way that Pastor Gail Owen, he likes sweet stuff. His biggest fall is a chocolate-covered raisin. And this is how he started. I know I can overcome the temptation of a chocolate-covered raisin. So I go to the supermarket, grocery store. I push my cart, and I pass the aisle of chocolate-covered raisin aisle. And I look at it. I turn my head and walk away. And I can't even come back one more time. See if I can handle again. And I do. And then I want to push my limit. I put that bag in my cart. And it goes on. And then he's eating all of the entire bag in the parking lot. No wonder his height and the width are about the same.
Is that the fifth one after sex? Is that
covered? Yeah, chocolate covered raisin for Gail Owen.
Covered anything.
Third point. Abstaining from the immorality means aggressively building protective walls against lust long before we have an opportunity to become physically involved in fornication and adultery. Guys, if you know your limit, don't go there. Build a wall. Don't take a chance. Proverbs says, we play with a fire, cannot be burned. I used to, when I was a kid, I was fascinated by the fire. Which kid, which boy didn't play with the fire, right? And burn ourselves. I almost burned down the house. I got yelled at and whacked on the head, which I deserved. to some, people. Did I change it too quickly? This measure can be, may be prudish and overreacting, but it's better to be overly safe than the risk of devastation that the sexual immorality causes. Folks, don't take a chance. I know some of you are thinking, I am too old for that. Really? And you say, I don't have to worry about that kind of thing. There are trends, as I mentioned to that editor of the Green Valley News, there are trends among the senior citizens that they are getting into the internet pornography more than ever before. Before the internet came, to see that kind of filthy magazine or the images, they have to go to a particular place known as adult bookstore. Am I correct? They have to go to that place, look around, make sure nobody's seeing, and then they went in. Now, with the thanks to internet, the adult bookstore comes to your home. Wherever internet is connected. Whether it's a computer, smartphone, smart tablet, whatever. 47% of Christians admit that pornography is a serious problem at their home, according to the survey reported in the World Magazine. Additionally, 37% of pastors have viewed internet porn, according to Christianity Today Leadership Survey. As noted by the World Magazine, pornography website provides 372 million pages of porn and services and some 68 million daily search engine requests for such images that is available at anyone's fingertip. Did you hear me? Two-thirds of an internet website belong to porno website, I heard. Do you think I was joking when I said that sex is a fourth driven desire for a man? I wasn't joking. Let's keep this in mind, that there are no secrets hidden before God. Although in Christ we are protected from his eternal punishment, God still allows the consequences of our sin. Remember King David? What did he do? He committed sin of adultery with Bathsheba, and he had Uriah, her husband, get killed, Uriah the Hittite, and he covered up this sin. He thought nobody knew. Well, number one, his servant knew. Number two, his general, Joab, the conniving guy, knew. And most of all, God knew. So to avoid God, for a year, he did not speak to God in prayer. He did not write anything in songs and praise and worship of him. Did God forgive him? Yes, no. Did David repent? Yes. What happened to the consequences? It's just an attaboy. Put it under the rug.
No, he followed him the rest of his life.
Yeah, until he's dead. Mm-hmm. Followed him. The sword never left his family. How does the Spirit of God help us live a clean life from sexual immorality? To begin with, he creates a holy desire within us so that we have an appetite for God's pure word. Also, he teaches us the word and help us to recall God's promises in the time of temptation. As we yield to the Spirit, he empowers us to walk in holiness and not be detoured into the lust of the world and the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit overcomes the work of the flesh. Amen? Let's go down to verse 9. But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you. Wow, what a compliment. For you yourselves were taught by God to love one another. Verse 10, indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But I urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commend you. that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Okay, interpretation time, please. This time I didn't give you any underlying portion. I should remember that. Thanks, Pat.
You know, it's such a balance to not mingle, but be with not. And got to be so careful because it's that tug, that rope you're talking about, right? You're playing that game, and yet you want to tell them about Jesus, but on our side you don't want to pull back into it. And so you always have to be on the.
Yep. Good one. Yes, Manny.
The last line is conditional, that, or I see it as conditional, that when you do this and you're close to God, you're obeying what God says, that you lack nothing.
Mm-hmm.
When you're doing those things and you have this, I'm going to try perspective, because I really don't have the strength to do what needs to be done. Taking out that word needs to be done away and putting into what God wants me to do, you lack nothing. If you're doing what God wants you to do, that you're called to do, you'll do it. You'll be able to do it without much effort at all, because it's the strength of the Holy Spirit that you're doing and you're using, not your own strength.
So what you're saying is, when it's a need to do, it sounds like we are pushed to do. And if we just take out the need to do, we want to do, then...
Correct.
Yes, good. Good observation. Sure. Good.
Good Come interpretation on your part.
Thanks. Yes, John?
I take it in the sense that idle hands are saying that, like David, he stopped for a season, supposed to, and his idol... Since he's idle, he's looking. What he's saying here is, you always need to keep yourself busy doing God's work. Slow down at any point, while the flesh. Yeah. So he's saying, keep busy. I mean, sense, keep busy. Jesus makes sense.
Take a captive of your every thought. Yeah. Make it obedience to Christ Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Being Christian is, huh?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I like the encouragement in brotherly love. Each one of us have a different.
No, really?
We have a different care. We have different. It's a learning thing to love one another. But you know, if I do it by the flesh, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to find something wrong about loving one another. That'll stop me with the proper kind of, and it begins in the church. So I have to learn, excel still more in this. I have to learn as I go, as I walk with the Lord, to learn how to love.
Gary brought the important point. Hold on a second. That here, let's go to verse 11. That you may also to lead a quiet life and to mind your own business and to work with your own hands and as we command you. Why would he say that if they are already doing it? He wouldn't have no reason to say that, right? Because they are not doing it. They know that they thought, well, Jesus is coming soon. I'm going to quit my job and run up my credit card and sit on the rooftop and with the white clothes and eating bird seed. I guess that's too much eating the bird seed. Never mind. Sunflower seed, yes. That's a steel bird seed. And so they think it's almost like a heavenly mind and earthly no good thing. That's why Apostle Paul is telling them, get your hand busy. Work. Don't be a freeloader to the unbelievers. It's giving the bad report to them. All right, Mikey.
I look at Excel more so as growth. And this whole thing was talking about sanctification, which means a growth towards a betterment in Jesus' life. And to Excel, to me, is if you're standing still, you're not growing. You know, you're moving backwards. So to excel, it's to keep on growing and growing and growing and become more of a better thing.
Yep.
And getting closer to my God, Christ. Yep. If you want to get sanctification, that's
good. Good. Yes, sir.
Back in my military, you set the example. You set the example for those who are not following, those who do not know. You're quiet. You're not boasting. that you're quiet, but they watch what you do. Then all of a sudden you start gaining the gist for how the way you live.
That's right. You don't have to broadcast. Your action become advertising.
You become a book.
Yeah. Christians not only have obligation to love one another, but also to be good testimonies to the people of the world. Paul's great concern was that the Thessalonians believers earn their own wages, and not because of freeloaders depending on, not become a freeloaders depending on support of the unbelievers. That's really, really bad thing. Can I change the slide? As believers, we must be careful in our relationship with those who are outside. It requires a special grace and wisdom to have a contact without contamination and to be different without being judgmental and proud. If we lack this spiritual wisdom, we will do more harm than good. I have two applications. Can I change the slide? Number one, abstaining from immorality means aggressively building protective walls against lust long before we have opportunity to become physically involved in fornication and adultery. Second application, as we yield to the Spirit through the Word of God, He empowers us to walk in holiness, not be detoured into the lust of the world and the flesh. Amen?